This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Here we go. It's hour five of the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105.3. The Fan. Rangers are off tonight. They'll be back at it tomorrow with a 3 o'clock start. Of course, we'll have Jared Sandler on. But joining us now from the morning news, Rangers reporter Sean McFarland back with us here in the G-Bag Nation. He's going to join us in just a second. I think a number of things to be excited about over the weekend. Number one would be Jacob DeGrom through, what was it, two perfect innings, about 45 pitches worth, but he was outstanding. And then on top of that, Wyatt Langford, he's been out the first couple of weeks of spring training, and we wondered if that would be a setback, but the way that he returned over the weekend, barreling the baseball, like he'd never been gone. That's a midseason form version of Wyatt Langford there, just absolutely murdering the baseball. And now we hope for Kamar Rocker, as he had like a simulated start over the weekend after two actual spring outings. It was not looking good, but that was a big step in the right direction over the weekend for Kamar Rocker. And to talk to us more about those storylines and others, Sean McFarland joins you now here on your home of the Rangers. And a good evening to you, sir. How the heck are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing great. We're fired up. Are people still buzzing about DeGrom on Saturday?
I think so. I mean, look, yesterday Nathan Eovaldi threw an exhibition game over in Scottsdale, and I asked him after the game, you know, hey, did you get a chance to see Jacob DeGrom pitch? And the first thing he said was, you know, vintage DeGrom. So, yeah, I think everyone is still fired up about that.
How impressive is it, or how surprising is it that after missing so much time at this age, he still looks like he's in his prime?
I don't even know if it's surprising. I mean, you think about it, he's only pitched, what, six games as a Ranger, but outside of maybe those three first innings on opening day in 23, he's just been really, really good, and that's what DeGrom has been, right? When he's healthy, he is, you know, at minimum a top five pitcher in baseball. We haven't seen him really struggle on the mound when he is out there. And I think that's the full expectation of him and everyone in the organization, is that as long as he's healthy, he's an ace.
When you look at what went down with the Yankees today, and so you now have Gerrit Cole, who's going to be out for the season, how do you think this might ramp up the trajectory here in the American League, change things? Because immediately I'm thinking like, okay, the Rangers, things are looking great for you right now. If you can have a healthy Jacob DeGrom, I think now the pecking order in the American League, are the Rangers at the top of it?
They're up there. I think it's the Rangers. I think you have to consider the Red Sox, given what the moves they made this offseason and getting Crochet and Bregman. You know, obviously it was kind of a glut of teams in the Central that, you know, had pretty good seasons last year and have some young cores and, you know, good arms like Reagan's in Kansas City and Skubal in Detroit. But yeah, I mean, with the Rangers, if they're healthy and DeGrom can make, you know, whatever, 25, 30 starts and the rotation stays healthy and the right guys bounce back. Like, it's not inconceivable that you're looking at the best or one of the best teams in the American League if everything does go according to plan.
Sean, when you arrived to Surprise, I'm sure you had questions about things about the team. How close are they to answering any questions that you had, and are there things that are surprising you from what you've seen halfway through camp?
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing is still just the bullpen, right? I think we have an idea on what the rotation looks like, and yeah, I think there's some things that still need to be sorted out about, you know, where and how they end up using Jack Leiter and Kamar Rocker if they don't open the season in that rotation. But the biggest thing remains that bullpen, right? They brought in a ton of veteran arms this winter. They don't really have a de facto closer on the roster, a guy with a ton of closing experience. They have guys that they think can do it, and, you know, Chris Martin, or, you know, they like this left-hander Robert Garcia and what he can do in leverage, and these young guys in Church and Teodo. So I think the bullpen is still the thing I had the most questions about. They made some cuts yesterday. I think they're kind of whittling down the bullpen a little bit. We're getting closer. It sounds like they seem to think they know what they want in the bullpen, but I think that's one of those things that it might be in full, you know, closer to opening day to have a full grasp on how that's going to roll out.
Do you feel like Jack Leiter started to turn a bit of a corner?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is the best I think most anyone's really seen him at this level. He's kind of refined a lot of those secondary pitches. He's got this new changeup he's been throwing that's running 92, 93 miles per hour, and it's a real weapon. He kind of tweaked a lot of things this offseason about how he progresses and how he ramps up, and I think you're kind of seeing the results of that. And, you know, for him, and I think for Rocker as well, like, you know, getting a taste of Major League Baseball last year and getting up to that level, I think that's going to make this spring and, you know, whenever they do get back to the majors this year, a whole lot easier for them. But I do think Jack has been one of the, you know, the true standouts of camp so far.
Sean McFarland, Dallas Morning News, covers the Rangers with us in the G-Bag Nation. What do you think about the center field battle? Evan Carter, Leody Taveras, what have your thoughts been so far on Evan Carter in camp?
Yeah, it's interesting, right? I mean, neither of them have hit left-handers well. I think they're both 0-for against left-handed pitching this spring. You know, both of them have been anywhere between fine to good against right-handed pitching in their careers. So it's the whole thing. Can one of them, you know, be able to hit left-handed pitching? You know, the one thing that has been pretty clear is Leody Taveras has swung the bat really well. He's getting a lot of hard contact. The swing looks good. He put on some weight this offseason, and you're kind of seeing the results there. With Carter, his at-bats against left-handers just haven't looked incredibly strong. You know, and that's the concern, right, is can he develop into an everyday player that can face lefties and righties, or is he going to be resigned to just facing right-handers? So, I mean, to me, center field remains the most interesting, you know, individual position battle we have here in camp. And I think, honestly, it might be one of those things where, you know, we don't really know how it's going to shake out until, you know, we get a month into the season and we kind of see how these guys respond after real games and facing real pitching. But I don't think we have an answer, at least 2 weeks into camp, or 2 weeks into games, I should say.
Sean McFarland here with us. Okay, since you brought up 2 weeks, how long would you let it go? Like, I'm more reactionary. I've seen enough from Evan Carter. I just wouldn't hit him against lefties anymore. that's probably too early, right? But how much of the regular season would you let go before you kind of got to call it?
No, it's a great question. I mean, 'cause that's the thing, right? It's you want him to develop against left-handers, and to do that, he has to face left-handers. But this team also, you know, is ready to compete and wants to win, and they don't have a lot of space to let a guy develop up here. So I think I think a lot of it will come down to, you know, is he being pushed by Leody Taveras? You know, does Taveras go out there in the first month or first few weeks and look great? You know, does that change things? Does Kevin Pillar, who was brought in on a minor league deal, who has a pretty good track record of hitting lefties, does he cut into the at-bats? You know, I think that's what it will come down to, is like, is there going to be significant competition and pushes from other guys on the roster that, you know, force them to make a change or go in a different direction?
Sean McFarland here with you, Morning News, talking Rangers. What's next for Adoli here in his career? Is he going to get this figured out again, or are we seeing the beginning of the end?
You know, I think he's made some swing changes and some approach changes this spring to be, you know, a little less chase happy, a little safer, but they also don't want him to lose his ability to slug the ball, hit the ball hard, which is, you know, what made him so good for those first few years with the Rangers. Now he's sidelined with an oblique injury right now, which is, you know, slowed down his camp a bit, but they expect him to be ready for opening day. And the biggest thing is, you know, can he weigh the swing changes to, you know, make better choices without completely giving up the things that made him such a good player, is being able to hit 30 home runs, drive in 100 runs. You know, so I think that's the thing that the Rangers are looking at, that he's looking at. And, you know, it's pretty clear that he and the Rangers are aware that, you know, something has to change based on how last year went.
Sean, I'm always interested in, like, the team-building aspect of things, and I was just curious the way the roster is set. Is there a battle for the last bench player on this team? Or is that something that is it going to come down to the end, or is that something they really haven't determined who that's going to be?
I don't know if that's something you necessarily determine, you know, in the first week in March, but it does come down to, I think, you know, versatility and how they can best fit this roster. So, you know, you look at a guy, you know, you look at last year, right? You kept Josh Smith, and he turned out to be a Silver Slugger winner, an All-Star candidate, right? And a big part of his value is he can play pretty much every position on the diamond but catcher, and he's done most of that this spring. And I think that's what you're looking for off the bench is, can you be versatile and play a bunch of positions, or do you have a specialty? So like Kevin Pillar, great defense, he can steal a base, and he can hit left-handed pitching. Like, to me, that's like a no-brainer guy who could be a really good fourth outfielder bench bat. And then you look at a guy like Zeke End, who's had a lot of flashes, but he's not exactly like the most versatile defender, not like Josh Smith at least. He's struggled to get the bat going, you know, a lot recently. So I think that's a guy you look at and say, you know, what is his future here with this team? And is it better to have a guy, you know, like a Kevin Pillar or like a Jonathan Ornelas, who's, you know, really great at defense or something? You know, like, you're looking for guys, I think, with like really good individual traits or that can be versatile. And I think that's what it comes down to at this point.
What's going to be the plan at catcher with Heim and Higashioka? Higashioka was impressive when we were there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, they've pretty much, since they signed Higashioka in the offseason, the Rangers were pretty open about the fact that it's going to be a pretty even split between the two, right? And I think that's good for both of them. Jonah Heim caught a lot of innings in 23 and in 24. He was battling an injury, and, you know, it's tough to go out there and catch however many games he caught while not being 100%. And I think if you can get him more time off his feet, more time at DH, and the same for Higashioka, it allows you to get the best out of both of them. I think that's what the Rangers are looking for.
It's Sean McFarland here with you, Morning News. What's your read on Boach? I mean, obviously he retired once, and then he came back to win another World Series. Now he's done that. Do you think he's just going to stay married to the game as long as he can get out there to the pitcher's mound?
I'm sure that helps. I mean, look, he has not indicated one way or another, like, what he wants to do after this season. And obviously there is kind of that question mark, but I think at this point, you know, if you're Bruce Bochy, maybe it becomes a year by year thing, right? Like, how are you feeling in September, in October, after a year of baseball? Do you want to keep doing this? Do you feel like this is the right spot to keep doing this? But he has not indicated one way or another that he's ready to leave or ready to walk away. So I think that's going to be something that we kind of learn more about as the season goes along and kind of see where things are at come September and October.
All right, Sean. So the power we're all excited about with this Rangers lineup. They add some new options with Jake Berger, Jock Peterson. We just talked about Kyle Higashioka. So we made our picks. who we think is going to lead the Texas Rangers in dong balls. And I want to get you in on this. Who do you think ends up being the leader in home runs?
That's a great question. This is probably recency bias just because I've been watching him swing the bat in spring, but I'll go Jake Berger. I mean, he's hit the ball hard all spring. He's going to get a lot of playing time at first base, obviously. I think a guy like Corey Seager is a great pick too, but he has been prone to miss, 20 to 40 games, and I don't know if I want to bank on that for a home run leader. And, with Adolis' situation, I think Berger, he swung a hot bat. He looks good out there, and it feels like a safe pick.
Thank you, Sean. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
There you go. Sean McFarland, Morning News here, talking Rangers here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Spring training baseball will resume tomorrow at 3 o'clock. And, we'll have the best coverage that you could hope for and lead up into pregame every game day afternoon here on your home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Where are we going next, Eric?
Sports Hodgepodge. We have an Anthony Davis update. The KD to the Mavs rumors perhaps dead in the water already, and more NFL teams not named the Cowboys making moves in free agency next.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The nation.
All right, welcome back, Nation. The Cowboys have done something, reaching an agreement with running back Javonte Williams, 1 year, $3.5 million per Tom Pelissero, 850 plus yards total in each of his three full seasons that he's played in Denver. He does catch a lot of balls out of the backfield. Yards per attempt the last 2 years has been under 4. This segment of the G-Back Nation brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration, Dallas and Fort Worth. Simple, one-day hair loss solution, advancedhair.com. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels for a free consultation. They only get paid when you win. It's the Frankels, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. Here's the Chief with more on that and more in a sports hodgepodge.
Okay, yeah. I mean, let's flesh this out a little bit. What does that do to the RICO sweepstakes? Javonte Williams, definitely a guy who probably flourishes more in the passing game. You just mentioned under 4 yards per carry the last 2 years. Couldn't get it going even with Sean Payton, who knows how to design some rushing attacks, and some other guys got the nod ahead of him, so clearly fell out of favor. But it's a small deal. It's, I mean, 1 year, $3 million, so pretty low risk in there. Certainly doesn't take you out of the market, at least when it comes to the draft. Still definitely definitely need a running back. So, but I mean, do you expect this to be the RICO replacement? Because RICO probably gets double this. I mean, RICO probably gets roughly $6 million per year. And this
I think this is a cheaper version. But I mean, you're not going to spend on both of them. You're not going to give Javonte 3.5 and RICO 6. That would be a big surprise. So to me, it's clear they want to draft a guy that's going to be like the guy who gets the majority of their carries.
Yeah, this would be a rotational back. I mean, look, I loved Javonte Williams coming out of North Carolina. And he looked prime to take over the backfield there in Denver. Like, he was going to be a breakout star. And then 2022, he had the ACL and LCL tears. And since then, the production just hasn't been the same. He averaged under 4 yards per carry 2 years ago. This past year, he was looking at, I mean, not a ton of production. And, I mean, it felt like Sean Payton, for whatever reason, he kind of ended up in the doghouse. So, I mean, we'll see. Maybe he is healthy now, and he is he was always a great back, at least in college, when it came to breaking tackles, making the first guy miss. That was a strength of his. Clearly, the receiving ability is there. So, I think at worst, I mean, he can be a change of pace back for you. Maybe they're able to end up catching, you know, lightning in a bottle, and he ends up giving you a really, really good 1 year for $3 million. I mean, that's a dude. It's kind of similar to the Royce Freeman signing a year ago. Like, if something happens and he doesn't end up making the roster, okay, no harm, no foul. But I don't know that he's like, okay, this is our starting running back now. No. I still think that's going to be whomever they draft within the first three rounds would be my guess.
Reading from some guys in Denver saying that obviously great as a pass catcher out of the backfield, but also pretty good in pass protection. So maybe just a third down kind of back. And he is super young. I mean, what, he's 24 years old. He's the youngest running back on the market. So that's encouraging, but that is the lone outside free agent move that we could speak of for the Cowboys right now. Broncos running back Javonte Williams, now a member of the Cowboys. We'll see I wonder where RICO ends up. Who's going to pay up for old RICO? I think RICO's better than him, Javonte Williams, but we know the Cowboys want a penny pinch at every turn. They're probably looking for some value.
They probably think they're going to lose RICO. They're probably getting the indication that they're not going to be able to sign him back.
Yeah, he'll probably get $6 to $8 million a year.
Yeah.
And maybe they just didn't want to go that high for RICO.
David Hellman says he likes this. Numbers aren't going to impress you. Only 24 years old, though. More importantly, they just needed to cover themselves for the draft without breaking the bank. More than fits that bill, says our buddy David Hellman. So, yeah.
But I would be terrified to go into a season with only Javonte because of the injury history.
There's no way you can. They'll draft a runner.
Okay.
Well, and you have to do that, like you said, in the first three rounds.
They got to come out, and regardless, whoever they signed, I'd have felt this way. This is your time to get a running back in this year's draft. There's too many good ones. Now is the time. So, if it's not in the first round, that's cool with me. If it's at 44, if it's at 76, you got to go ahead and take one of these dudes.
Okay, so elsewhere around the NFL right now, speaking of Denver, their backup quarterback Zach Wilson is now signing a 1 year backup quarterback deal in Miami to be backing up Tua. So that means we'll probably be seeing a fair amount of Zach Wilson this year. You back up Tua, you're a half starter.
That's basically a starting gig.
How about this? This is crazy. BetMGM their odds for the Dolphins to win the Super Bowl, they were plus 4,000 before signing Zach Wilson. They signed Zach Wilson, and now it's plus 10,000.
Let's go. Dude, he's going to crush it in South Beach.
That is freaking hilarious, dude. Some wide receiver news. The Rams are planning on releasing Cooper Kupp when the new league year begins on Wednesday, March 12th, unless, of course, he's traded by then, but not likely. They sign Devontae Adams yesterday. I think that's a nice move for them. Definitely an upgrade from
that's exactly Cooper Kupp. The kind of player the Cowboys are going to go after, you know.
Kupp.
Yes. Yeah. Damaged used to be goods. A star, bring some name value, but I mean there's a point in which the dollar per stat or whatever goes and starts working in your favor, and it's on the other side of these because you're not getting any upside in these deals.
Mm-hmm.
And the market just doesn't value them high. So this is actually like a market inefficiency the Cowboys do a nice job of exploiting.
And our old buddy Michael Gallup looking to make his return to the NFL. He's got a visit set up with the Commanders. Dan Quinn familiarity, of course. And really just the Commanders are a pipeline for former Cowboys. At least last offseason, that was the case.
It's what that DC's going to end up standing for. Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Gallup's a really easy guy to root for. And I think the nice thing here is he's no longer good enough to really hurt you.
Jamar Chase, wide receiver for the Bengals, waiting to get his contract. He just tweeted out or had an Instagram picture that just read, "Know your worth, then add tax." So he's still doing the social media stuff, waiting for his contract to finally be landed with the Bengals. And we're also on Trey Hendrickson alert, waiting for that move to get done. Where is he going to be traded to? Myles Garrett now off the market. So does Hendrickson end up in Washington with the Commanders? Does he end up in Philadelphia? Hopefully not, but thank God neither one of those teams are going to be getting Myles Garrett this year. Still waiting to hear what's going to happen with Jameis Winston. 49ers and Chargers have been conversing with him for a potential backup quarterback role. So looking forward to see where Jameis ends up. But that's kind of the 411 on things that are taking place now in the NFL. Been a long day of quite a few signings.
Massive.
Good to see the Cowboys finally get in the mix there, adding Javonte Williams, 24-year-old running back out of Denver. We'll see. I can't wait to see where Rico ends up and how much he ends up pulling. Yeah. And Najee Harris still out there as well. So there's still a couple of backs to be had.
It's disappointing. I mean, at least they didn't sign Najee Harris, which would have been like three times that money for maybe even less production. But it's going to be really interesting to see where the Cowboys take this, because I have felt like since this offseason started, if you'd make your offensive line better and get a star running back, you could make sure you made those things happen. Right? You wouldn't have to leave much to chance there. Trying to spread out and fix like all these different holes, there's a lot of holes to fix. And I just feel like you could make Dak a lot better. You could fix your running game. You could make your wide receivers better by giving Dak actually time. And you could take pressure off the defense by not having so many three-play drives and punts. And we'll see. You know, I don't think this day one of free agency has given me any indication that they're serious about putting together a contender.
No.
This is going to be a continuation of what the 2024 season was, which was a very soft and slow rebuild. We're going to try to give ourselves a chance to play relevant football in December and hopefully make the playoffs, but not really fully commit to trying to build a winner or fully commit to rebuilding.
Yeah, it's obvious at this point. Okay, we go to Mark Stein talking about the Mavericks. He says that Anthony Davis and Derek Lively are, quote, indeed both progressing toward an in-season return. Whether those reactivations actually happen, of course, remain to be seen. Anthony Davis played 2-on-2 this past weekend and will almost certainly reach the point before season's end that playing in an NBA game is feasible. So he should be healthy enough to come back, and then it'll just be a decision probably amongst him and the franchise. Is it worth even going out there the season is now rendered useless?
And we'll have to see how things go. You can't even be a play-in team. I think it's crucially important that you at least get to that 9 or 10 spot in the draft lottery. But even bigger than that, Chief, like the tank discussion is there. It's relevant. I love it. I'm here for it. You just have to make sure that you're not tempting fate and another catastrophic injury that would impact next year. That's why I'm not playing Anthony Davis. So if I'm the organization, if I'm in AD's camp, we're just not going to risk it. As small as it is, with how bad everything has gone, there's something in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to see that that seasonal calendar flip over.
And I'm with you 100%. I think it's both things. You need to tank and get the draft pick. And also, yes, like it is contagious right now with these injuries for the Mavericks. You can't risk Anthony Davis in any way at all. Even 60 yeah. seconds on a basketball court is too much.
Look, I know how amazing we're going to be. I don't need him to get out there and remind anybody of how they're going to absolutely wreak havoc on the league and play some of the best defense we've seen in our entire lives if we can get all those guys on the court healthy at the same time.
Yeah, those 15 to 20 games next year are going to be incredible. Mark Stein also, how about this? He says, Dallas has been repeatedly described as a potential Kevin Durant suitor before the deadline and since. But he says, I continue to hear that reports of its interests have been overstated. The Mavericks, based on my best read, are not currently planning for a three-star construction. Mm-hmm. So we've been connecting the Mavericks to Kevin Durant really ever since the disaster took place of trading Luka and then trying to pick up the pieces. Durant almost traded at the deadline. Now it's obvious he is going to be traded. We thought the Mavs were going to be one of the biggest suitors to try and acquire him. But Mark Stein is kind of putting the kibosh on that a little bit.
Well, and he would know. He
would know.
Yeah,
no
he's
doubt.
A dialed insider every bit or more than his peers. But we did have the report that they had the dream. Right, we were there on Radio Row. The report came out like the Mavs had dreamed about this. Maybe they only want to do it if it's the perfect trade, and the Suns at this point want a lot more than what the Mavs would be offering. And I think that's the right way to do it. The only way you should put three stars together is if it's not at the expense of your supporting cast. I think that's kind of bared out to be true. Like, it's really only going to work if one of them is named LeBron.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If it's any other three dudes, you're probably not going to be able to build that great of a team. And I'm fine with that, because as fun as KD would be, I wouldn't be willing to do that if I had to give up Washington and Lively and Marshall. Oh. It's like, no. You need the quality wings and bigs that you have right now. Make it that if you can just get any two-star players with these guys, you're going to have a chance to win a championship.
Well, Chuck, what are you son of a gunning about over there?
Dre Greenlaw is off the board. He's going to Denver. So the Broncos defense just got better. Gosh, that's a great defense there in Denver. They got Hufanga from San Francisco at safety, and now they're going to bring in Dre Greenlaw.
They're going full Denver 49ers on us.
Yeah. That was one we were hearing the Cowboys could have interest in, or he wanted to be a Cowboy.
I don't have the numbers on the deal, but gosh, this running back free agent class is drying up.
Maybe linebacker.
Maybe your best bet is like try and call Eric Kendricks. Does he want to come on back for you, have another 100-tackle season?
Yeah, dude, they got to find the Zach Bond of this year. Just the guy that nobody wants. Former team was using him wrong.
And a crazy deal. 3 years, $35
million. 3 years out. What's the guarantee on that? Probably $20 million.
Don't even have a guaranteed listed.
Yeah, I mean that's a palatable contract,
pretty affordable
right there. That is frustrating. I did see in regards to Kevin Durant though, maybe the Mavericks wouldn't want him anyway because he's potentially washed. Skip Bayless said on Twitter, "The more I watch him at age 36, the more KD looks mentally semi-retired to me." And then Kevin Durant quote tweeted it and tagged Skip and just said, "Bleep it, we're both washed. It was a great run for both of us." So maybe he's leaning into that a little bit right now. Obviously, Kevin Durant very sarcastic there on Twitter. Now, elsewhere around the world, we did get some.
That's that entire team a lot of nights. I'm sorry,
the Suns.
I've seen the Suns a lot lately.
Yeah,
they're gonna win enough to pass the Mavs here for this play-in spot, but a lot of them are checked out.
How does this excite you, gentlemen? The return, starting today, KFC is testing the return of their famous potato wedges in Tampa area stores only. If this two-week test is successful, it will return nationwide. That was always my side whenever I would go to KFC. And then they pulled the rug from under us. I love the potato wedge. And if you're anti-potato,
gravy on that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would and do and will. Continue to but yeah, the potato wedge is making their return. They're kind of I think they're a hot item.
Yeah,
people were frustrated when they went away, but they're also a bit controversial. Some people just say it's too much potato. Give me just your classic fry, maybe make it a curly fry or something.
Yeah,
I like the dense nature, but I'm a potato freak, so for me this is one of the better ways to consume french fries.
And the wedge is unique and it's delicious. KFC did it right.
You know, I'm with you, though. I just figure I'm skeptical when I see those at a fast food spot. Like, if you are a five-star restaurant and you're coming at me with potato wedges, I know it's going to have the ideal amount of, like, butter or grease or whatever you're putting in there and the right amount of seasoning, salt, and all this. I mean, it's going to pop. It's going to be perfect. The right amount of flakiness through the center of that potato. I guess I'm just skeptical, you know, after being to delis and trying their potato wedges over the years. I just they're easy to overdo. They're easy to underdo.
Yes, yeah.
You got one with too much snap.
Yeah, there's the sweet spot there. Some of them, they try to go for too much crisp, and then they dry out the innards of the potato and ruin the integrity of that. But then
that's why you fry them twice.
They underdo it, and then now there's not enough crisp, and it's just a soft potato. Mm-hmm. But I thought KFC really had that thing dialed, and hopefully Tampa shows out in a big way, and we can get that released nationwide.
They're pretty good, and they season it, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they have a seasoning on it. Their fries are pretty decent.
I like their fries.
Yeah.
But their potato wedges, I'm glad you agree, because you're not really the fry guy.
No, I eat them with a whole lot of ketchup. I'll get with those potato wedges.
The wedges are good.
I like the seasoning on it, Broadus.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. Did you guys see a bachelorette party hit Dak with the Eagles chant in the Bahamas over the weekend? And they actually spelled it correctly.
They did a good job.
Which was probably the biggest surprise.
Educated Eagle fans there.
But Dak's hearing it at every turn right now.
Now he knows how we felt at the Minnesota Super Bowl. That's very similar kind of setup there.
I love that Dak and the Joneses both go on vacation this time of year. You know, it's just the consistency from the top down in this organization is special.
Did you see how Dak was walking?
It was a little gingerly.
Yeah, it was a little funny. Like he's been sitting in a bar stool chair for too long and you get up kind of fast.
Yeah.
Been trying to tell you about this ankle reconstruction.
You have to step like 10 times before your back fully gets the posture that.
Can't move too quick.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't look overly.
I was concerned.
Definitely.
You know what that's like, Lucius? How's your leg coming around?
It's awful.
Awful?
Yeah. I do. It'll be great one day. I do a whole lot of activities and it's gone for 2 days.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, swell up on you.
Wow. You know what that's like.
I love this from the 469. You got to fry the potato wedges in duck fat.
Yeah.
Ooh, I've never had duck fat fried anything.
You can fry them twice, too, is another way to do it. What you do is you, what they call par fry them, and then you take them out, you put them in the refrigerator, and then fry them again, like fry them cold. And it makes it really pillowy, like inside, but crisp on the outside.
Hmm.
So. Good way to do it.
Pro tip.
See, and now we're getting into the 5-star restaurant type of work.
Yeah.
And I'd
prefer craft wedge. Potato wedging.
Well, those are kind of fries I would serve to you if we were doing steaks.
Well, I'll tell you the number one fry in the world, number one fry now in the great state of Texas as well. It's at that Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers.
Great fries.
Am I right?
Oh, my Lord. Those garlic fries. Yes. Dude, I've never had a garlic fry that felt like. This wasn't just some douse it in garlic powder. This was actually felt like it was fried in legit garlic.
The only restaurant I've ever had that was similar, downtown Portland, the Portland City Grill. It's like up on the 20th floor of the spot. It's a legendary place to go have lunch or dinner, and I'd never had a fry similar, but they might have beat it. That's how strongly I feel about those fries, and I cannot wait to be back for the first Friday of March Madness.
That's like the best place to be for March Madness. We're just going to be surrounded by all the televisions, games.
Well, thank you for that sports hodgepodge, Chief.
Yes, sir.
When we come back, it's time to crosstalk with the fan after dark. We'll see what Fred and Blake have cooking here for in a Monday night. We're back at the Nation. Well, thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. A popular Texas Rangers hat has been discontinued from team stores. Congrats to anybody that got one of these before they were pulled from the shelves.
Crap.
But a giant T was put in the middle over most of the middle X, which spelled pretty much a new word, T-E-T-A-S, which in Spanish is a slang term for, tatas.
Or the boobies.
Yeah, boobies.
Chi-chis.
Yes, there you go.
Fun bags.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
So this hat was getting snatched up by men and teenage boys across the land, and then they got tipped off that it was for a vulgar reason. They discontinued it, which I'm kind of disappointed in, but it's kind of a funny story at the same time as we get set now for Fred and Blake, Fan After Dark, coming up next here on The Fan. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Tired, but excited because first day of NFL free agency has been a blur. Lots of money getting cashed out. Dallas Cowboys did make a move. We discussed that, of course, and figured out if it was the right one.
They did make a move. Looking forward to your guys' coverage of it. What would it take to actually be optimistic and excited here as a Cowboys fan? It's been so long.
Yeah, sign a guy that isn't,
scraping the bottom of the barrel bargain wise, and you know, a guy that's actually going to start for you day one.
I think you fill a hole that no doubt is like a guy like this went to the Broncos.
Dre Greenlaw.
Like, you know, immediately around the league, this guy's going to be a starter and your best linebacker, obviously with Overshown being hurt. But like, I'm happy about Javonte Williams, and I do think it was a good signing. We'll have to wait and see how it plays out and kind of break down everything with it. But, you know, just make a signing that is clear and cut, going to be make your team better as soon as he steps on the field, and they just haven't done that in a while. But believe in our guys.
It's like Carl Lawson vibes, right? I mean, yeah, he's good, but I mean, you know, 6 months from now, or, you know, are we going to see anybody in a Javonte Williams jersey? Are we going to be sitting here are you guys going to be doing a post game talking about the, you know, 130-yard game that Javonte Williams put the team on his back? Probably not. You know, I mean, again, he fills a need, but, you know, ho-hum. So,
yeah, we don't even know if
he'll have more catches than Tolbert in a game.
Oh, yeah. And for the season.
Wide receiver three, Javonte Williams.
So this means Rico's gone, right?
I'd assume so, yeah. I think you're going to draft a running back, and you'll have Javonte Williams in the fold. You'll have Deuce Vaughn in the fold.
Why are we still doing the Deuce experiment?
I was
going to
say, why are we still doing this?
Well, we got his
last year.
We got Connor Riley. His old O-line guy.
You're right.
K-State,
I didn't even think of that. Of course. Breakout season.
Deuce is loose.
It would be fun if you had Rico and Javonte and a draft pick. Like, we're going to throw multiple bodies at it and have more of a rotation where they're all serviceable.
I'm watching this guy play. I have been for the last 35 minutes or so. The running style is very physical. He gets nowhere. It's the pass blocking and the catching it's his calling card right now.
Yeah, that's what I've seen.
I mean, he plays in that shotgun and they hand him the ball sideways and he's not quick enough to kind of get anything out of it. Mm. The running style is really just straight ahead. I'm watching a lot of fourth and fifth round running backs that have a very similar style to how this guy's playing right now.
That knee injury really took a lot of his burst away.
I'll tell you what, though. He is an impressive pass blocker. And I know he's not. It put a 73 number on him, and he's probably going to be pretty good for you at right guard maybe. But
there you go.
But the running style here is nothing to be.
So he's your third down back.
There's no explosiveness at all to his game other than his ability to catch the football. They put him out wide. He'll do that. But also the pass blocking. He'll blitz pick up, and he's very aware of who to pick up.
One out of every four of his runs this past year went for no gain.
Yeah. He averaged 3.7 per carry.
What kind of catches is he getting? Is he run routes or is he just getting the ball?
Screens? I'm watching the game. I'm watching the Denver. They're playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they flexed him out to the left, and Nicks hit him on a route, kind of a little comeback route down in the red zone. It was an empty backfield, so they flexed him out to try and get him in space. He's run some check downs. They've run screens with him. He's caught everything they've thrown to him that way.
Well, me and Fred were talking the other day, and we're talking about free agency signings. We talked about Ty Johnson being available, who obviously played for the Bills and the Jets and broke out last year with Josh Allen as your third down back. I guess this is their Ty Johnson, if you will, third down back. They can blitz pick up. They can catch out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm not mad at it. It's not like they spent a bunch of money, $3.5 million with incentives. I just hope that there was a Dre Greenlaw behind it, but obviously he's on the Broncos. So I think you still have a huge hole at linebacker and a huge hole at corner, and obviously the one at running back, and you only have one first-round pick.
Yeah, I think you're in a position once again hoping that budget free agents and a stellar draft class can make you at least good enough to make the playoffs next year. But I just think that every dollar that you spend, if you're not really going for it, is a lost opportunity. You know, it's really a chance, an invitation to do a full rebuild and reap the rewards of that a few years down the road. This is like some sort of a cruel compromise where they'll try to win 8 or 9 games, but, you know, not really have a chance to contend. And, you know, the way that the last two draft classes have gone, it could be a while, you know. I think maybe the quality of the Cowboys' experience over the last 15 years has been really fed through a lens of you hit on Travis Frederick, Tyron Smith, and Zach Martin. And you know, those guys held you down and made you really better than you should have been as an organization for a sustained period of time. Mm-hmm. And now we get to see if they can go on another great run that can hold up the organization for the foreseeable future after that. I know we should have seen this coming. Okay, I'm not acting surprised.
Yeah, no, I get it.
But it's sobering when it rolls out for you in real time again.
Well, that and when you see, you know, you see what the Commanders are doing. Now, luckily, the Giants are pretty miserable right now too. So I guess we can kind of celebrate that.
We can group ourselves with them.
You know, yeah. I mean, and unfortunately, that's kind of where it's at. And then, you know, you're going to be banking on a lot of first and second year guys to make huge strides next year, and then you're going to have three dudes, you know, I'm guessing that Mike is going to deal is going to get done, taking up nearly half your salary cap.
We got the Dallas Stars standing by still for
Stars.
News on Rope Hintz with the face to the puck last night, and then we have Texas Rangers baseball as well, excited about that, and they'll be back at it tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
We need to really get on the Stars bandwagon. They represent the AAC. No. Come on, let's go.
Yes, sir.
Stars. Too late for the Mavs?
Thank you.
Too late for the Mavs.
Okay, sorry about that.
Thanks to Lucius
and
Alexander.
Too soon, Fred. Jeez.
Oh, sorry.
The Pimp Cup over there, Master Control. Thanks to Wolchuk and Chiafalo and Brian Broadus. Fan After Dark's coming up next. Until tomorrow at 2, I'm Gavin Dawson. You're going home with the G-Bag Nation. Maddie.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. Or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.